morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. It's Isser Chag, day after Yom Tov of Shavuos. So I figured I'd take a break from corona-related halachas because, you know, Baruch Hashem, things are getting better. And you see, you know, if it's not one problem, it could be another. The world is in some form of chaos, and we definitely need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachas to live life normally. Obviously, to live life normally, you need to go to shul, go to work, sit and learn, but just have protection. It is scary what's going on in the world around us. So we need bracha. And I figured, came across an interesting topic, which I thought would be nice to delve into. I entitled today's share Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Buha, Understanding Language in Halacha. And let me explain in a moment, for those who don't know, what is Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Buha? So this isn't gonna be a full halachic biographical share of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but it's definitely kedai to get a little bit of background. You know, who is Rav Chaim Kanievsky and where is this Buha coming from? Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, Gedolei Hador, a tremendous Talmud Chacham with his particular vast knowledge of Torah being something which is definitely like a mophes, like a wondrous ideal that perhaps in his expertise hasn't been seen in generations. Talking about someone who's literally a walking encyclopedia. He could tell you exactly, you know, how many times it says Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. I think that's one of my Ephraim Shapiro's favorite stories. You know, the guy who quizzes him did a computer search. So Chaim's number came in 2 under what this guy came up with on his computer search. So Chaim Kanievsky says, Shkach, you're counting, the computer doesn't know, because it's counting Miseh, Memshin Hei. That's one, and Maseh Yodo is another pasuk in the Torah. So it's both also with Memshin Hei. So the computer thinks that's Moshe, but Chaim Kanievsky knows better. So his number was exactly on target, despite the fact he didn't, he just used this computer as opposed to another computer. Talk about someone with total command of Torah, tremendous, words don't do justice, but tremendous Talmud Chacham. And Rav Chaim is somebody that spends his days learning Torah. When I say Torah, he makes a siyum every year on Kol HaTorah Kula. Right, on Erev Pesach, Siyum Chorim, he makes a siyum on not just Talmud Bavli, but Yerushalmi, the Midrashim, Sefer Sofri, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Mishabura, everything he goes through on a daily basis and has what he calls his chovos, his responsibilities. And these are benchmarks. You know, every day he has a lot of ground to cover. And last time I was there, and I've seen in other pictures, he has like a card to focus him on each line. He reads a Gemara line by line. He's not zipping through. I'm actually going at a quicker pace. He's been through it quite a bit. But he has a card, an index card, holding the place, and he moves it down as he goes line to line. This is how he learns Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, the works. And so he has a busy day with all of his learning. On top of that, he is the most sought-after address probably in the world, in the Torah world. And everybody just tries to get into his house, and I believe it's 10 Rashbam in Bnei Brak. And there are lines and lines and lines to try to get into him. And about 7 years ago, he started the practice. Usually he would give, a person comes to him, gives him Shalom Aleichem, asks for a bracha. His retort always was a basic bracha of Hatzlacha. For many years, that was Reb Chaim Kanievsky's form of saying a bracha, giving a bracha, just a general bracha. I will give you a blessing, bracha of Hatzlacha. 7 years ago, Reb Chaim switched, and the general blessing that he gives to people changed to Buha. What's Buha? Buha is the Rashi Tevos, an acronym for Bracha V'Hatzlacha, Beis Vav Hei. So Reb Chaim switched to Buha. So the person would go, wait, turn online, figure out some connection, how he gets in with Reb Chaim, gets to Reb Chaim, tells him whatever situation, a shidduch, this. He says, Bua, that's what Reb Chaim says. Obviously a very unique idea, but that's what Reb Chaim does. So today's shiur, we're going to try to understand where that comes from, what the basis of that is. Buha sounds strange. I myself feel very blessed, very lucky. I believe the past 6 years, I was by Reb Chaim twice. Twice or three times, sorry, take it back. I was by Reb Chaim, I believe, three times, two or three times, I remember one of the times. And for sure, I'm pretty sure two of them. One time, I went with the 12th graders over here in Miami, and it was a memorable thing. We actually davened mincha with him, mincha gedola, early mincha. And after mincha, I was able to get in and introduce, here's all these talmidim from Miami. Now, like, who doesn't know what Miami is? Everyone knows Miami. Miami! I said to him in Miami, and Reb Chaim gives a dumbfounded look. Huh? Chaim might know every word of Rashi and Shas. How many times it says Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah? But he didn't know what Miami was. No recollection. The Gavai in fact says, from Arts of the Bris, America. Miami, he didn't know Miami. But he gave us the full version when we went in. This was 6 years ago, this time of year. Chaim Kanievsky retorted back the full bracha of Hatzlacha. And I'm pretty sure just two summers ago we were there, actually one of our Talmidim was making a siyum. It was during the 9 days. So actually, it was ready for Shulah Shechabal, and one of our Talmidim was making a siyum, and he had the schus to actually make the siyum in front of Reb Chaim. And I believe after that, he gave us all bracha, the full, I'm pretty sure it was a full bracha v'hatzlacha. So Reb Chaim does give out on occasion still the full version of bracha v'hatzlacha. But in general, the language he uses for each individual person who comes by is his buha. I told the story, I'm not sure if I told it here, but it's definitely kedai for this topic. There's one yeshiva bacher that figured out he's going to outsmart, I don't want to use the lashon outsmart or chayim, but he didn't just want to get a buha. So he came with a chak. When he flew in back in those days from Chutz Aretz, America to Eretz Yisrael, so he landed in Ben Gurion. Instead of going to Yerushalayim, he took his cab to Bnei Brak. He had an early morning flight. He got to Bnei Brak in time for the early Shacharis Letterman Shul, where right next door to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Chaim Davins. And being the fact he just came in from America, just traveled, so he had to bench Gomel. So he went up to the Bima, bench Gomel, and the retort when a person benches Gomel is a bracha that the Tzibor says, Mishin Gomelcha Kol Tov, Yigomelcha Kol Tov Selam. Right? Because Baruch Hu paid back you with good, should pay back you with more good. So he figured, beautiful chap, if I say that bracha in front of Reb Chaim, then Reb Chaim is going to have to answer like a tzibur, and that bracha is even greater bracha. So that's this bracha's chap of how to get a greater bracha from Reb Chaim. But definitely, as a default, most of the time, the bracha that Reb Chaim Kanievsky is giving is this buha, these rashi tevos. Bracha of a Hatzlacha, just the short version. Why is he doing it? Does that bracha still work? Halachically, what is buha? So that is what we like to come to explain in today's share. Try to explain. And with this, we're going to dabble and try to expand our perspective of how the halacha views language, words, all different elements. The first area that I'd like to touch on, and this I think is one potential explanation for what is buha, what is it? So the halacha does speak of both what you call foreign language. Halachically, what is the status of a foreign language in terms of, we'll see, tefillah, other areas. And with that, the halacha also speaks of made-up words. If you make up a term, you make up a word, you know. So halachically, how binding, you know, I made up a word, frindle. One of my children is reading a book. Yes, I think the name of the book is a frindle. It's a book about a child who made up a word and made millions off it. So I make up a word, frindle. Does that have any halachic significance? Because I went and I made it up. So I'd like to go to Hilchos Kriya Shema, Simen Samach Beis. On the sheets I put the Bir Halacha, but let me just first read the Mechaber. Shulchan Aruch writes, when it comes to Kriya Shema, Yachol Lekroso B'chol Lashon. A person is allowed to recite Kriya Shema in any language. Very important to Halacha. You have a Baal Tshuva, just became from, doesn't yet know how to daven. Can't say, unfortunately, the first parsha in the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. So can he recite in English, Hear, O Israel, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. So can a person do that? The Shulchan Aruch says 100% yes. One could recite Shema in any language. And the Mishnah Berurah adds over here that we're not just talking about the halacha of Kriya Shema. This same halacha would apply to tefillah, to Shmoneh Esrei, He'll apply it to Birchas HaMazon. Person wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that he ate. That also would work. For any bracha, person's making a bracha on food, he doesn't yet know the bracha. He would be allowed to recite a blessing in English. For Kiddush, right, just started keeping Shabbos, he wants to make Kiddush Friday night, he can't say the words. 100% he could say it in English. And I'm talking English, again, I'm talking saying it out, the translation of the words. Speak the English language. Now, obviously they have nowadays multiple siddurim which are transliterated, which is also a big help for Balei Tshuva, people that are not able to read regular Hebrew. But no, full-fledged recite a tefillah, Shemona Esrei, Kriya Shema, Brachos, Berachas HaMazon, Kiddush, these are all examples the Chafetz Chaim brings in the Mishabura. All of these would be allowed to be done in English, or for that matter, in French, in Spanish, in any foreign language. Now, Chafetz Chaim does also qualify over there that when it comes to Kriya Shema in particular, ideally that should be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Right? If you're osik with the Baal Tshuva, the concept of davening in a foreign language is a b'di'evet. That's a second choice. The ideal, l'chachilo, the best way to do it is in Lashon HaKodesh. And the reasoning behind it, the Chafetz Chaim says, because there's some words which don't really have a translation. One of the examples I think he brings is Lotol Tafos. Not every single word, there's a very clear translation of it. And therefore, it's best that you understand it. You say the Kriya Shema in Lashon HaKodesh. But again, if someone's not able to, Shulchan Aruch does write that one could recite Kriya Shema. Chafetz Chaim adds, for that matter, these other brachos and tefillos, one could say in a different language. One other qualification before we get into this big area that I'd like to research is Chafetz Chaim says, when it comes to a foreign language, you have to understand what you're saying. Example I give and share, I taught this, is a lot of yeshivas that I think it's cute to teach the kids the Manashtana in Yiddish. Now, disclaimer, not sure anyone says you have to understand the Manashtana. Okay, the kids have to know the questions and they have to know the answer. But a lot of schools teach the kids to say the Manashtana in Yiddish. Top the lid and do the fragen, the fair kashas. If they don't really know what the English is, the translation is, that's a perfect example. You're saying words in a different language, but you don't really know what it means. So, Chafetz Chaim does warn, if you're going to utilize a foreign language, there, you better make sure to know what it means. As opposed to, that qualification is not part of if a person davens in Hebrew. Very important. First pasuk of Shema, you have to know. The first bracha of Shemona Esrei, you have to know. But really, for other parts of tefillah to be yotzei, you do not have to know what the words mean. I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble. You know, obviously, you have an art school sitter, you have an English translation. That's better. That's l'chachila. But really, if a person davens in Lashon HaKodesh and does not know what the words mean, aside from first pasuk of Kriya Shema, the first bracha in Shemona Esrei. So then, maybe some other parts of davening. But really, it works, because the difference is Lashon HaKodesh works whether you understand it or not. Other languages need for you to understand it for that to be a valid form of communication, for that to be a valid form of you speaking that. Well, perhaps delve into that a little bit more in a moment. Okay, so that's the basic background with the halachas of using a foreign language. And we'll see soon how this is going to tie in, perhaps, with Buha. Here comes the big area. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir HaLacha, so on the sheets, has a pretty, pretty major qualification. That which you're allowed to daven in a different tongue, in a foreign language, only works, the Chavetz Chaim says, in a place where they speak that language. For example, a person knows how to speak Russian. So great. If you're in Russia and you speak, you're in St. Petersburg and you're speaking in Russian, great. You could daven in Russian. If you're in New York and you're speaking Russian, and Russian is a language which is spoken in New York, it works. But what happens if you're in Montana and nobody speaks Russian there? What happens if you're in South Africa? There too. That's not the common dialect for South Africa. Zot Chavetz Chaim, then one would not be able to daven in Russian. The foreign language you're using only works within its sphere of influence, where people are speaking that language. But outside of that area, it does not work. The Chavetz Chaim, I'll read it inside, it's this Bir HaLacha here, in Siman Samach Beis. It says like this, the da'o, the nearly pshitas. Chavetz Chaim says to me, this is pashat. The olsen dvarmer and the marim b'cholashim. These things which you could say in any language. Hudavkim anshei olsen medina medabrim kach. If the people of that place speak the language. Anshei olsen medina in yichol medabrim zeh lashon. If in South Africa people not speak in Russian. V'rak hu v'od ezer nashim yichidim yodim zeh lashon. It's only you and your tour group. You and a little chevra. They're the only ones who speak this language. It's not considered a language. The bishlam lashon hakodesh, lashon mitzad ha'etzem, lashon hakodesh works wherever you go. Mashgengin shar lashon does not work. Come back to the reasoning, and he writes, I'll bring your proof, because the Gemara in Kedushin and Davov says, Omer charufasi biyehuda mekudeshes. Guy goes to a lady, you know, nowadays everyone's looking to do a new type of a proposal. I'm not just going to do what everyone else did. Pull out the red carpet and, you know, have the girls' names up in lights. I've seen that on Simcha Spot too many times. What I'm going to do, I'm going to make up a new language. Will you be my Harufasi? Gemara says. Harfasi was a word which was used for engagement in a section of Eretz Yisrael in Yehuda. So the Gemara says, if you say Harfasi in Yehudi Mekudeshes, Shekein bi Yehuda karn larusa harufa. In Yehuda, that was a language. That's what they said. Aval b'shar makonos enu Mekudeshes. But in other places, if you use the word Harfasi, it does not work. Even though they both, like the girl knows his trick, and he says Harfasi, that's going to mean, do you want to get engaged? That's why she cried. It doesn't matter. This isn't a language which people speak over there. Be comparable to a case where a guy gives him money, but doesn't give a speech, does not say Harei Mekudeshesli, where the halacha is, it's invalid. So the Chavetz Chaim is saying, I have a basis for my halacha. The reason why this halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, that you could daven, that you could say brachos, all these things in multiple languages, it's only because it only works, you're in a place where people speak that language. But if, you know, it's important to qualify. I see one of the questions coming in. Someone asked, I'm in a Russian airport. Can I daven in Hebrew? Yes, that we've clarified. When it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, you could take that to Moscow. You could take it wherever you want. I mean, there might be some Arab countries that want to hear you davening in Hebrew. You might be in trouble. But I actually did. I can answer that question personally. This is one of the times I was going to Eretz Yisrael. We had a flight through Russia. So I davened in Russia. And I took a little extra pride, maybe a little nekama. I felt, oh, Baruch Hashem, I live in a world today where I'm able to daven inside a Russian airport, an official government institution. You go back decades ago, such a thing would not be allowed. But yes, when you're passing through a Russian airport, you could daven in Hebrew. But if there is a language there, airports are might be a whole funny situation. Airports, I'm not sure what they qualify as. Airports probably a place where there's so many languages passing through. I'm not even sure the airport have the din of the city that it's in. You know, this halacha of Chafetz Chaim, how do you break it down? You know, I've sometimes seen dialect maps. I've seen people like, they go through different boroughs of New York. You know, in this spot they speak this language, in this spot they speak a different language. So I'm not sure how you break up, you know, the borders of language. But again, the basic halacha that the Chafetz Chaim is saying over here is foreign language only works in a place of where you utilize that language. People are speaking it. Multiple, the majority of people, at least a significant amount of people, are speaking it. But if you go to a place where they aren't speaking it, it doesn't work. And his raya is from this idea of charufasi. Gemara says the guy used this language. Hey lady, you'd like to be my charufasi? Gemara says it works, but it only works in the place they use it. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Now this particular piece of the Chafetz Chaim was attacked years later, after the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, by a young budding Talmud Chacham at that point in Europe, named Rav Yitzchak Huttner. He saw this piece from the Chafetz Chaim, and it bothered him. He didn't think that was Pshat in the Gemara in Kedusha. Rav Huttner challenged the conclusion of the Chafetz Chaim and said, wait, time out. Charufasi, you know why that word only works within the people who speak that language? Because charufasi is a made-up word. It's like frindle. Maybe it's like bua. It's a made-up word. So of course, made-up words are limited to people who understand what you're talking about. You can't make up a word. You know, when you're involved in kids' education, you know, guys make up words. My Brooklyn boys over the years, gosh. Brooklyn, they spoke different languages. Harumph, they used to have these words they made up. So, charufasi is a made up word. So made up words, those are very limited. But a legitimate foreign language, Russian, Zakhtar of Huttner, you could speak Russian and daven Russian. The halacha of the Mechaber applies everywhere. It doesn't matter if people speak it or not. Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't make any qualification like that. Rav Huttner vehemently argued on this conclusion from the Chafetz Chaim and says there's proof from the word charufasi. That's not a proof. That's a different type. There's two categories over here. There are made-up words, and there's foreign languages. How do you compare the two? A made-up word, okay, if I'm in a place everyone knows what I'm talking about, maybe that works. But a foreign language, that's different. Foreign language works wherever you have it. It's a legitimate language. So what in South Africa, most people don't speak Russian? It doesn't take away from what Russian is. Russian is a foreign language. Most people don't know French. Okay. That doesn't make it French not a language. Why can't I use it? So Rav Huttner very much disagreed with this piece of the Chafetz Chaim. So much so, when this young Talmud Chacham, getting Haskama for his Sefer, so he went to the Gadol HaDor, Chaim Ozer Gadinsky, and showed him his question that he had on the Chafetz Chaim. And Chaim Ozer really liked this question. So much so that he told him, he asked this young Rav Huttner, are you going to be passing through Radin? He said, yeah. He says, please go into the Chafetz Chaim and ask him your question. And Rav Huttner wrote down, I saw it in print, he went into the Chafetz Chaim, took Rav Chaim Ozer's advice, asked him his question on the Pesach here in Ber Halacha, and the Chafetz Chaim said, here's the question. He was already older, very old, and he said, I'm not able to answer you now, but I'll tell you one thing. When I wrote the Sefer, when I wrote this Ber Halacha, I knew what I was talking about. That's what he said. Okay? Ma'isa Shehoya Kachaya. Fascinating piece. I would tell you, 7 years ago, I spent time on this Ber Halacha. I spent time on this question. And I thought that I had a good way to resolve this, to defend the Chafetz Chaim from Rav Huttner. So much so, I even took it to Rav Huttner's son-in-law. Rav Huttner has one daughter, head of a big seminary in Eretz Yisrael, BJJ, Bitson David. Her husband, Rav Yonason David, is the Korosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, and who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and heads the Israeli branch, the Pachad Yitzchak Yeshiva. So he was in America, so right after Pesach, doing the sugya, got myself an appointment with him, brought some guys, and I tried defending the Chafetz Chaim. Yosef David, like Rav Huttner, tough person, and he wasn't ready to hear defense for the Chafetz Chaim. He liked his father most, gosh. The Maisa, though, I do think it's a good defense. And I think it's an insightful way to view what's going on over here. Rav Huttner views it that there's two levels. There's made up words and there's foreign languages. Those are two separate dinim. So made up words, that you need your people to speak it for that word to work. But when it comes to a foreign language, Rav Huttner argues a foreign language is a foreign language. So I believe Rav Huttner's perspective, which I definitely could hear, is, look, a foreign language is an entity. That's the language. This is what people made up. So of course, wherever you go, your language is not limited to the people speaking it. And really, halachically, there's no difference between Lashon HaKodesh and a foreign language. Once this is considered a valid means of communication, it's not just a made-up word, so then of course you could say wherever you want. The Chafetz Chaim, though, views it like this. The only real language, the real words that innately have meaning, is Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, every word has meaning, not because Reuven and Shimon decided, maybe modern Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. The words have meaning because the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describe things that way. As opposed to a foreign language, where it was made up between two people, some point between times of Babel, Adayom, people decided in Greece, in Rome, all across Europe, Russia, They made up a dialect. They made up words. These words only mean something because people made them up. Right? The Chafetz Chaim really even points this out when he writes the Bir Halacha. He says, Bishlam Lashon HaKodesh Hu Lashon Mitzad HaEtzem. Lashon HaKodesh is a language unto itself. Mashik Enkin Shar Lashon Einenu Kiyam Mitzad Heskim HaMedina. That's only because people were maskim to it. So the way the Chafetz Chaim understands foreign languages really is no different than a made-up word. The power of a foreign language, it doesn't stand by itself. A foreign language is limited. It has a crutch with it. It needs its society. It needs its country for it to exist. You destroy the country, halachically speaking, there is no language. Shkayach, so they study, you know, ancient languages in college. Does that make it a place where people speak it? Hash does not. A language is part of a society, zok the Chafetz Chaim. Therefore, it only works within that society, within those people. And therefore, there's no difference between, just like the Gemara says, Chafetz Chaim knows her fussy is a made-up word. But you know what? The Chafetz Chaim views every foreign language also is made up. There's no difference between Buha and Daspadanya. It's all the same. A Russian word, a made-up word. We'll see what Buha is in a moment. But so the machlokas that comes out, according to the way we're explaining between the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Huttner, is does foreign language exist unto itself? Rav Huttner would agree, okay, foreign language was made up. But once it was made up, it has a certain stature. It's freestanding. It's not limited to that society, that culture. The Chafetz Chaim says no. If the nature of a language is something that's a heskim b'nei adam, people made it up, as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh, then you never escape that. And you always are going to be limited that language will only work in the place where people speak it. Quite fascinating two perspectives on the halachic view of foreign language. And a major halacha l'maisa machlokas. Chafetz Chaim says, I could daven Russian in the middle of South Africa, in the middle of Montana. Excuse me, Chafetz Chaim says one would not be allowed to. Masha Enkein, according to Rav Huttner, you could take your foreign language, wherever you know it, all around the world. But Maisa, though, if we're viewing Buha, though, as a made-up word, what comes out from this halachic discussion? L'kuli alma, whether you hold like the Chafetz Chaim, or even if you hold like Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner told you you could take your Russian language wherever you want, but you can't take your buha. You can't take this made-up word and go wherever you want. It only works within the place that they're speaking it. So you'll say, okay, so Chaim Kanievsky is speaking in a place where people know that it works. Not so pashat. I've heard of more than one person that walked in and he said buha and had no clue what he was talking about. Not so pashat Chaim knows this bir halacha. I don't think he would use something which does not work for a bracha. It's a made-up word. Who says you could use it anywhere, everywhere? In your spot, Kovea. Not so simple. So that, I believe, is one area of halacha, foreign languages and made-up words. There's another area of halacha when it comes to language. And this is my next idea of perhaps what buha is. Is there's a concept in the halacha of yadas. Fascinating concept. I do not believe, again, I'm not a linguist, but I do not believe that a concept of yellows really works in other in other forms of law. But the Torah has a fascinating idea. The Gemara says, it's Gemara Nedarim, let's say there's a normal language a person utilizes to enact a neder. A person wants to make a vow to do something. Class one example is to become a nazir. Person wants, obviously we don't really have a nazirim nowadays, but a person says, I want to reach a higher level of kedusha, so I want to become a nazir. So let's say the normal means of how to do it is you make a declaration that I will be a nazir. So Gemara has a case. A guy is there on the street, and his friend says, I will be a nazir. And I'm standing next to him, and I say, yeah, I will be. You never finish your sentence. You spoke half a sentence. I will be. What will you be? Especially the Gemara gives a case, let's say there is a nazir passing in front of them. So the Gemara uses that as an example of what they call a yad. A yad is really a half sentence, but yet the halacha views it as a shortcut, as a means, as if he said the full sentence, has the same halachic binding nature just by saying part of the declaration. Amazing idea. Again, right? I don't know, guys, let's say you're in court and you have to make a declaration, they're going to tell the truth. Right? Let's say the official declaration of this county is, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Right? Okay, so maybe if you're a Jew, you don't want to swear. I'm not getting into that whole parsha. But you could say, I promise. But what happens if you just say the first two words of that? I promise. What? Maybe you promise to lie about what you're doing. Like, just the, if you're not saying the full sentence, it doesn't work. But Lamaisa, the halacha says for sure by cases of nedarim and by cases of naziris, a special psukim, the Gemara Darshins, that these halachas can take effect even if you use only a partial declaration. Bit chiddush. Gemara then in nedarim goes through multiple other cases, goes through a case of kedushin. And, let's say normal kedushin. The guy says, Harei Amit Kedeshesli. And it's an emotional moment. The guy's standing there on the chuppah. He's waiting his whole life for this. And he breaks down crying. Can't get the words out. He says, Harei Amit. And just sobs away. Puts the ring on her finger. Halachically, does that work? He never said out the words, Harei Amit Kedeshesli. Okay, the Gemara, I'm giving one particular case. The Gemara has other forms. But the basic idea is you didn't use the full prescribed language. You only used part of it. Now, it could be a case of where the part that you use is clear where you're going with. That's what we call Yodayim Mochichos. Very clear handles. Right? They use the word Yad. The Ran even spells out this point, that the Yad is a handle. So we view some sentences, half a sentence, as a handle, as a means to get to a full sentence. So the Gemara is a Shaila, by Kedushin would that work? The Gemara is a Shaila by Peah, where you're separating a corner of your field, just the halachas Hey, we just learned Megillas Rus talks about these halachas. But the corner of your field for aniyim. So you're declaring which of your four corners is for the aniyim. So can I use yados? Can I use a abridged version for that? Gemara is a shal for tzedakah. Tzedakah, very important halachas. Tzedakah, for sure, if a person just makes a verbal pledge, very important halacha. Halacha is, it takes effect. Right? For many other things in life, the only way there's a binding nature to something is if you do a kinyan. I tell you I'm going to sell my house. Right? We talked about this another shiur. Now, a verbal agreement still has halacha binding in a sense. If you back out of it, you know, there are mishaparas, there are negative consequences of it. But a verbal agreement is not the same thing as a kinyan in all other halachic areas. However, when it comes to tzedakah, tzedakah is chal with a dibur. Tzedakah would have a din like a neder, would be chal with a dibur. And there's even a tzad in halacha, tzedakah can be chal with a machshava. So this is important. These halachas has ramifications. You're in shul, you know about some collection, and this and that. So if something for sure, if a person says, pledges to do something, has to figure out means of how to keep that pledge to this tzedakah, to this organization. And even thinking on some level also has different tzadim halacha, but also has some halacha ramifications. So what happens if a person doesn't give a full verbal declaration he's going to give tzedakah, but, you know, says half a sentence, right? They're going around making the appeal, the Isker appeal. And so, guy says, I pledge $500. So the next time he says, me too. Now, obviously, me too, very clearly, that's partially what you mean. But you didn't say it. I know someone's going to say it can mean something else. But no, halachically, that's this issue of yados. So, halacha maisa, the Gemara has shailos, Shulchan Aruch by both of them, by Peya, by Tzedakah, says that yados works. So, potentially, and what's the reason why yados works? So, Pashtos, the reason is, the Ran spells this out, is that when we're talking about areas which the whole halachic consequence comes from a dibur, comes from speech. By a neder, you don't have to do anything to make a neder other than speak. I vow to do something. It takes a lot. You don't have to do a ma'isa, nothing. So in, by nedarim, by dint of the fact that the dibur, is the way I understand it, is very powerful. Shana Nedarim Dechamiri. That's Nedarim, all you need is a speech and it takes halachic effect. So that speech is very powerful. We also allow that speech, half of that speech, a yad, to work. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out, and if that's the understanding, then you should for sure say the same thing by tzedakah. Because tzedakah is also something which works with a dibur. So for sure you should say by tzedakah too. There are others who even ask on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how come he only asked this question about tzedakah? He should have asked a step before in the Gemara about peah. Peah too, all you need is a dibur. This corner should be for peah, for the aniyim, and that takes effect. So it definitely seems, from simple grip of everybody involved there, that when you're dealing with something which all you need is a dibur for it to take effect, then just like the Dharma has yados, for sure, the Kivagar said tzedakah should have yados, should have these half speeches. Others point out the onus elim. Others point out, hey, you should say the same thing. So that's why, if you view buha, brachavas, this Reb Chaim's buha, as half a sentence, l'chara, there's a concept that yados should work. Yados works by things which are chal on ayde adibur. So perhaps that's why Reb Chaim utilizes this language of buha. His buha is a yad, is a half statement to get you to bracha v'atzlacha. So the first way we have viewed it was maybe buha is a made-up word. So we went through the halachas of foreign languages and made-up words, how that works. But this other attempt to perhaps explain where Chaim's coming from is to say it works as a yad. It works as a half speech, which we show that there's some halachic significance of that in the Darim, by tzedakah, maybe by peah. However, here too, Lanias Daiti doesn't sufficiently explain it, because the Gemara goes through cases where yados works, and the Gemara specifies the cases. Or it doesn't say anything about brachos, tefillos, all these things working for with yados. Yados is a chiddush, right? We wouldn't be able to make up the concept of yados by itself. And the Gemara makes no mention of anything. They have quite a few cases where they debate whether we could have yados, but none of these tefillah, you don't find it anywhere. It'll be quite a chiddush to say that such a thing works. So that means we're back to square one. We still don't understand where did Reb Chaim Kanievsky come up with this idea of just saying buha, right? We never found of any other Adam Gadol to make up such a thing. Where does it come from? I'll share with you one other idea that went through my mind. People don't give him credit. Chaim Kanievsky is a funny fellow. He has a good sense of humor. I've heard this from multiple people at Shaychas. I myself saw it. I'll tell you a quick story. 6 years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael. So we went, and our plan was we were going to go daven mincha with Reb Chaim. So we were waiting outside. At that point, already they built. Now they covered it, but they had like a bridge going directly from Reb Chaim's house into Shul. So we were waiting outside to see when Reb Chaim goes from his house into Shul. We were going to Shul then. And we're waiting, and it seems like it's getting delayed. Basically, all of a sudden, a cab pulls up, and people come in, and they're whisked into Reb Chaim's house. It seems what happened was there was a bris earlier that morning. Reb Chaim was famous. I'm not sure how much he still does today, but when he was younger, 6 years ago, Reb Chaim was running to basically any bris they would ask him to be sounded, he would go to. And he was by a bris earlier that day, but he had to rush out to another bris, and he wasn't able to give a bracha to the family. So he told the family, they should come by before mincha, I'll give them a bracha. So this family, the parents, grandparents, are being whisked into Reb Chaim's house. I'm standing right there. And all of a sudden, I recognize this guy, nice American guy, wearing kippah suga, looks at me, he's like, Rabbi Kier, what are you doing here? It's a friend of mine, Evan's father. Guy from Kew Garden Hills. Son was a classmate of mine. He was a grandfather. His daughter's kid. Rabbi Kier, come with me. Next thing I knew, I'm inside there with Reb Chaim, standing with the guy, I'm his guest. I got myself right in. I felt bad. I couldn't take the rest of the yeshiva with me. But I'm in there, and you see the way Reb Chaim was kibitzing with this, you know, American, young Israel grandfather joking around so beautifully. Like, I said to myself, you know, maybe this whole buha is a joke. Like, Reb Chaim thinks it's cute, so he says buha. But I don't think that's pshat. I think it's funny. But so what is pshat? I don't think it's a joke. I think it's a serious halachic thing. I don't think it's a yad. I don't think it's a halachic of a made-up language. So I came across a piece I don't, this was written by some, I believe it was actually an American yeshiva bacher, who was around Reb Chaim, and says over the exact metzias of what happened, when did Reb Chaim switch to this buha. Said it happened on the Chol Moed Sukkos, Tavshin Ein Gimel. There were thousands of people coming already at that point, 7 years ago, to Reb Chaim, and he was sitting for hours and hours greeting people. At a certain point, Gabayim shut the door, Chaim needed to rest, and when he came back just saying Buha. And basically from that point on, okay, the first did it, people thought it was just an exhausting day, so he just did it quickly, this Buha. But from that point on, past 7 years, he's been doing that. And when they asked him why, he quoted to them, there's a Rambam, Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam says, you know what, the person should be marbe b'shtika, the person should be quiet. And he should be very careful with the words he says. I myself found the Chaim has a sefer, Orchos Yosher, which is a Musar sefer, but it has a lot of halachos in there too. And under the category of shtika, he brings also this Rambam, Hilchos Deos. He also brings a medrash, which, yeah, I've heard of the medrash, a little scary medrash. The medrash says that a person, when he's born, is allotted a certain amount of speech, a certain amount of words to say in his lifetime. And Reb Chaim brings that back to back with this point. If you realize what Reb Chaim goes through, the amount of people that visit him on a daily basis, and Reb Chaim in general was someone who was very terse, very brief. He is known also to answer letters from all over the world. He answers the letters many times, one word answers, mutter, aser, this, a few extra words. He's very, very brief, exactly clarity to the point. And it sounds like what Reb Chaim was expressing was he felt that he's saying, he's speaking a lot. He has a very busy job all day. And if he could cut down from bracha l'atzlacha, which is 7 syllables, to buha, which is 2 syllables, that's quite a savings. Now, me and you, come on, bracha l'atzlacha, buha, 2 syllables, 5 syllables. Okay, maybe we're not medaktik in the words that we say. That's a different problem. Chaim Kanievsky is somebody that every word, every syllable that he says is a cheshbon. And Baruch Hashem, he has big popularity and is a busy person and is constantly being flawed for brachas. Chaim understands bracha v'hatzlacha, it's Rashi Tevos, but you know what? It works too. Not because of yados, not because it's made up language, it's just a shortened form of speaking the same words. If you'd write it in a letter, right, you could write bracha v'hatzlacha. People write all the time. You go through Svarim, there are so many words in Torah, right, in Svarim, which are Rashi Tevos. Bracha v'hatzlacha, buha, is Rashi Tevos. It's a shortened form of valid speech. You don't need yados, you don't need made up words. It's a shortened form. For us, we're not being paid by the word. Reb Chaim guards his every word. And I believe that's the pshat why it's written over here. I think that makes sense. That why Reb Chaim holds on to every word, every syllable that he could say, and be very, very careful with it. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And I give everyone a bracha that Bez Hashem, we should all be back here together soon, spend time together in safety and health. Can't take anything for granted, all the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And Bez Hashem, we should all see much bracha v'atzlacha in everything we do. Kol tov.